nutty, but I'll try them all over again. Cognac keeps you peppy, rum makes you dumb. Beer is a mellow drink, but it'll keep you on the run. Whenever you want a drink or two, choose the drink that
we can talk about the nuances.
Yeah, we
will. Any questions before we get going?
No, I read through it. I've got my answers ready. I'm excited.
Pumped and primed.
I love to talk about Gatorade.
Who doesn't?
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Popping Bottles. If you can hear my voice, then you probably know my name. It's Josh Govia. It's in the show notes. This is a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages. And I'm not the only person who podcasts here. We have a second podcaster. Well, you could call him a host, a co-host, a barback, but his name is...
It's me, Rob Grabowski. I'm the barback. I'll get the ice. Hashtag not Rob. Hashtag ocean cold. Hashtag fat folks fall.
Yeah.
Because we want to encompass everybody.
Yeah. I think maybe fat boy summer or fat boy fall is a state of mind, Bobby.
Oh, okay. I like
maybe,
it. Okay.
Yeah.
Not just a place in a state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want people to feel disparaged either.
Okay. And we're sticking
with fat girl fall. It's like, that sounds mean.
It does.
You say fat boy fall. It's like, oh, that sounds nice. Gender bias. What are you gonna do? Bobby, how are you?
I'm good, Josh. You know, living the life. How are you, pal?
Oh man, I might have mentioned this earlier, but I voted today. Early voting.
Oh, congrats.
That's right. I did my civic duty. I waited in a very short line. I got there half an hour before they opened. Early. So I could, if there was a line, and there was, but that was only because they were socially distancing people.
Sure.
For some reason, the mail-in ballot, like, is scared, ballot, not the ballot, scared me.
Oh.
Just because I was like, I don't know where this goes. Like, if I can see it get scanned and, like, get it checked, like, that felt better to me.
Sure,
just
because
this is an important election, y'all. You can't get messed around.
How long did you end up waiting?
I got in line at 8:30. The polls opened at 9. I was out the door by 9:30.
Oh, wow, that's quick.
So, yeah, and I was like, you know, 10th person aligned.
Yeah.
It went really fast.
I'm going to go this week sometime. I have less things to do after work. So just everybody vote. Everybody vote.
So I feel good about that.
Good.
I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but let me say, promises kept, promises made. Is that the slogan?
I don't know.
All right, whatever. Bobby, did you know this is a comedic podcast about your favorite beverages? Each episode, we have a guest. The guest brings a beverage of their choice, and we talk about why they chose it.
Yes, but is this episode any different than our normal episodes?
This episode is only different because we have an even better guest than ever before. We have a wonderful guest by the name of...
Randall Colburn. Hi, my name
Yay!
Is... I'm very excited to be on this podcast talking about beverages. I love to drink beverages.
It's something I do daily.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. Multiple.
Randall, have you voted yet?
Yeah, have you
voted? No, not yet. I'm going to soon. Still, you know, I need another debate to figure out who I'm going to vote for.
Oh, you're one of our undecided. That's fair. That's fair.
You know, it's after the last 4 years, I'm still a little bit confused who I might vote
for. I just listened to both town halls, earbud in one, earbud in the other, and I was like, oh, it's like they're talking to each other.
That helped clarify.
Yeah. What I do...
I was unclear on where people stood on certain issues, but, you know, these debates have been very helpful.
What I've done the last four elections is I get in line to vote, and I just ask the person in front of me, I go, who are you voting for?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
And you say, what's it worth to you?
Yeah. What do you got on you?
Randy, if I may?
Mm-hmm.
Is it your preference?
I go either way, but I've known Rob for Jesus, like almost 20 years.
So long.
Wow, 20 years.
Yeah, he's known me as Randy my whole life, so I think Randy is very good for this pod. So
cool. Thanks, Randy.
Perfect, yeah. Bobby and Randy, my two best friends. Randy, what beverage have you chosen to talk about with us today?
I chose blue Gatorade, very specifically blue, although there are multiple kinds of blue, as we discovered right before we started today, that we bought different kinds of blue. I personally am prone to Glacier Freeze, which is sort of an ultralight blue. You guys have Cool Blue, which makes more sense because blue is actually in the name. And when you guys said, what kind of Gatorade do you want to talk about? I just replied with blue.
Yeah. So but that's how you talk about Gatorade flavors. Like if there's anything in a cooler, you go, what do you want? Oh, give me the red one. You don't, I don't know flavors.
So, I chose blue Gatorade, but I bought both kinds because when I buy it these days, I usually get a zero, which is the calorie-free, well, almost calorie-free version of,
Gatorade. That used to be G2, right? Am I going crazy?
Maybe. I'm not really sure. Because the thing is, I chose Gatorade because I just got back into Gatorade recently. Oh, I was really into it when I was in high school and I played tennis. And I used to drink it like by the
I'm going to stop you right there because we're going to get into your history with it. real quickly, I want who's got the over-under for how many currently made on the Gatorade website, no cheating, how many current flavors of Gatorade are blue?
I'm going to go with four.
I'm going to go with six.
You are both under. There is seven blue Gatorades on the Gatorade website, and I will give them to you right now.
Wait.
Blue cherry, which I happen to get.
Nice.
Because I went a whole hog at the Jewel Osco. We have Cool Blue, which I also have, which is what we thought we were drinking. We have Fierce Grape, which is a very dark blue.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it says bold and intense on the label. Frost Glacier Cherry, which is the lightest blue you can have before turning white. We have Frost Icy Charge, which is sort of almost a
sounds sexy.
I mean, I don't. How would you? It's not a sky blue, but it's a little deeper than that. We have like an aqua blue Frost Glacier Freeze, which is your favorite, right?
That's what I got. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got,
that's what I think of when I think of blue Gatorade, the sort of lightish blue one.
Yeah.
And then Arctic Blitz, which is almost like a teal Gatorade.
Oh.
How do they distinguish between these? I'm sure they all taste the same.
They all taste the same.
All right. Well, real quick, let's get into the history let's dig into it. Let's tuck in. I'm going to drink the regular Cool Blue.
Yeah.
Nice. Regular, I say, because it's the one I've already opened.
It just tastes like Gatorade to me. all taste the same.
It tastes like citric acid.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
And water. Yeah, I love it, but I don't know. I can't describe the flavor.
Yeah. Go ahead, Randy.
I was just going to say, like, I guess for me, Gatorade has never been about flavor. It's always like, it's just like... And maybe it's because I don't know what it's like to drink warm Gatorade. Like, I always associate Gatorade with being cold.
Sure.
And it has a certain, there's just something to me that is inherently refreshing about Gatorade.
Yeah, revitalizing.
That, and I think a lot of my love for it stems from the concept that it is refreshing. Like, I remember it as being thirst quenching after physical activity. So the flavor for me, it literally is like there is a taste to it, but it's literally just like if somebody put blue dye in water. And it was really cold. Like that's basically the flavor of blue Gatorade. But
I'm saying it's flavorless, but I do like it. It is good.
Yeah.
And like Randy, I 100% agree with you on day. Like I'm not a very physical person, but on hot days, if I've been walking a lot, one of these is like perks me back up. It's delish.
So I just tried Cool Blue, and then I went right to Gatorade Frost Glacier Freeze. The Glacier Freeze has, and this might be a visual thing, a much lighter flavor. It's almost more citric. The Cool Blue sort of has like a medium. Like a berry. It also, this is zero versus high octane. So like, you know, one's got more sugar. And it's definitely more sweeter like coating in my mouth. Yeah. Moving on to Fierce, Bold and Intense, Blue Cherry.
Oh, here we go.
What this is about.
Lock up your kids.
He's going to change them.
Okay, that just tastes like a fruit punch. Like it's... It doesn't taste like Gatorade more than it tastes like a juice that you would buy.
And see, that's probably not one I would like. I think because I got both the zero and the regular of the Glacier Freeze, and the regular, you can taste the sugar a little bit more, and there's a little bit more bluish flavor, but literally the zero is just, it's literally water that, like, there is a slight bluish flavor to it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, I'm not, you know, I'm not like a super smart at describing the taste of liquid. So for me, I think like, it's like, it just tastes like blue to me, which is why I think like Gatorade is so funny when we just call it by colors, because it is literally that, you know, it just tastes like blue. And that's what I think I love about it.
Well, let's get into the history a little bit. In 1965, a team of scientists from the University of Florida College of Medicine, at the request of the Florida Gators head coach, made a drink for his players to replace fluid lost during physical activity. The football team credited with their first Orange Bowl win in 1967, and in 1969 it went in full production and became the official drink of the NFL with two flavors, lemon, lime, and orange. Gatorade, Florida Gators. In the 1990s, we see the first blue Gatorade. So in a previous episode, we have done lemon, lime, Gatorade before.
It's my wife's favorite.
In the 1990s, we see the first blue Gatorade hit the market, Frost Glacier Freeze.
Oh.
Sort of a citrus berry. In 1999, Midnight Thunder Gatorade is released, and it is the first purple Gatorade, a cousin of the blue Gatorade. In 2002, Frost Cascade Crash, the second blue Gatorade, is released, and according to their own Twitter, Cascade Crash is a punch blend of citrus, mild strawberry, developing into a sweet orange and ripe strawberry.
Oh.
Okay. In 2003, Cool Blue hits the market. Cool. And as we mentioned earlier, there are seven different flavors of blue Gatorade. What I found funny is because I was trying to research what each flavor tastes like and sort of like the difference between them. And a lot of times people will... Gatorade's Twitter is very active. So people will tweet at them, hey, what is this flavor? And they'll be like, what do you think it is? And they'll be like, that's what it is. And then they'll go into the Gatorade Crash is a punch blend citrus mild strawberry developing into a sweet orange and ripe strawberry. And like, I would never get that granular when I taste it. It's like, acid, berry, done. Like, there's no blooming on my tongue. There's no, flavor changing.
No.
They all taste, the same, but slightly different. Currently, the top-selling Gatorade flavors are Lemon Lime, Fruit Punch, Orange, Glacier Freeze, Cool Blue, and Frost Glacier Cherry. Ooh. So we're trying three of the top-selling.
I was going to say, they're not at the top, but they're in contention.
They're in the punch, yeah.
Probably due to how much I buy them now.
Got to be. I'm surprised Cool Blue, you said Cool Blue didn't show up until like, what, 2003?
2003, yeah.
I thought blue was always one of the like original colors.
That's what I thought. I thought Glacier Freeze was like the hip younger cousin.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. Because I remember the purple one for a little bit. The, what was it, Thunder Fruit?
Yeah, Midnight Thunder.
Midnight Thunder, what
but
great.
But there was some kind of blue in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
The Glacier Freeze was the first blue.
Oh, okay, cool.
That must have been it. Okay, then that's got to be it. Yeah,
that's the OG.
Yeah.
And what I think of when I think of blue Gatorade.
Yeah, same.
But when I went to the aisle, it was like blue. All right, that one's blue.
I don't mess with the new, like, Gen Z flavors. I stick with the OGs.
Snapchat blue.
TikTok flavors.
With your Facebook Lives.
Yeah.
Facebook Lives.
Challenge blue. The Travis Scott Gatorade. What? Well, that's a little bit of the history of Gatorade. Randy, let's get into your history with Gatorade. We have a segment on this show where we talk about the first time you've ever had delicious Gatorade Glacier Freeze and the last time. This segment is called...
First Time, Last Time.
Real lazy with the way we name things.
My podcast is very similar. I feel like my earliest memories of Gatorade, I played tennis when I was in high school. It was one of the few sports that I played.
Singles, doubles, you do it all?
I played it all, man. Right. I was all over the place.
Hell, I was in high school.
Wait, what was that?
You want to shout out your high school?
Lance Cruz High School North, outside of Detroit, baby.
That's right.
And I wasn't that good, but I was on varsity, but usually on the lower tier. But you know, it's like you usually play like a lot of tournaments, so you're playing like multiple things a day, and so I remember that we would just have like a shitload of Gatorade, and I always gravitated towards blue. Just because blue's always been my favorite color since I was a kid. And I was like, well, there's no difference between any of these. You know what I don't understand is like the freaks who drink like the like white Gatorade or whatever.
Oh yeah, like, the frost ones.
It's bizarre. I'm like, I don't touch that. Like that, like it makes me think of human skin or something.
Yeah.
So I want to think of like a glacier or an iceberg while I'm drinking this. All about being cool. You know, I just remember being on the tennis court, sweating up a storm, and just I could drink like an entire. Not we got these big boys now, but you know the other ones that are like a 16 ounce or something. Yeah. Those I used to like chug those in one because they're just so dang refreshing. And I feel like I stopped drinking Gatorade for a long time, but recently I switched gyms, and so I started going to a new gym, and there was a 7-Eleven.
What's the new gym?
What's that?
You gotta know. People need to know these details, baby.
Got them out.
Lincoln Square Athletic Club. Off the Western Brown Line in Chicago, Illinois. So yeah, I started going there, and it's probably about like a 15-minute walk back to my apartment. And so but there was a 7-Eleven right there. So I just started just popping in, and I was like, well, I'm going to get a Gatorade. But then they kept having like 2-for-1 deals, but it was always on the zero. So I was getting the zero. So I started just buying these two gigantic Gatorades like every time I went to the gym. And I would usually drink like one, and then I'd have one in my fridge, but then I'd keep buying two every time I went. So suddenly I just had like four Gatorades. And my wife is like, why are there Gatorades
there? They're multiplying.
Like, get rid of these. So I started drinking them. I'm like, well, if I'm going to buy two, I'm drinking both of them. And So now I just like, I realized I just like really enjoy it. And now I don't even need to go to the gym to drink it. So I just thoroughly enjoy drinking blue Gatorade, which is, it's very childlike to me, even though, you know, like everyone drinks it. But, and I still drink a lot of water too, but to me, like, it's just a very funny drink. I barely tweet like, because Twitter stresses me out, but like I tweeted like a couple months ago, I just said getting back into Gatorade or something like that, and I got a wild response. Not wild, but more engagement than I usually get. And my friend Katie just replied, "What flavor or what color?" And I just said blue. So and it was like if they all got it. I got a lot of love.
People love blue, man.
They do.
I know. So yeah. So I'm just like, you know, Gatorade has become a very enjoyable a new beverage. It's like rediscovering an old friend, you know.
Yeah. Perfect for these times.
Yes, I love it.
What you have it in your home right now?
Uh-huh.
And when was the last time you had one except for the one you're having right now?
Like yesterday or yes, I went to the gym. I went to the gym yesterday, and so I had one when I left, because literally if I go to the gym I'm having the Gatorade after. Yeah. It's like a treat I give myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got these this morning, and I'm going to drink both of them within the next hour.
Yeah, I'll probably finish these, all three of these today at some point, even though I don't normally drink the high octane.
When you asked me to be on this pod, Rob, I didn't even hesitate. It was like, absolutely going to discuss blue game.
Because in my head, I'm like, already I might pick some kind of like fancier beer, but I'm like, Gatorade? Hell yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, I love beer too, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, I initially thought Diet Coke because I have a Diet Coke addiction, which is obviously horrible, but I've just resigned myself to it. But I figure you guys have probably done Diet Coke.
Like, not in a while.
It's been at least 2 years.
Episode.
Yeah.
That was the drink he talked about, yeah. Bobby, same question. First time, last time, blue Gatorade.
You know, here's the thing. I was a kid. I was forced to do sports, baseball,
force.
We're balling everything just to see, like, can this child do anything? And I'm sure at one of those events, I had Gatorade. I don't have a specific memory for it. But I will say, my dad kept it in the house. Usually, he didn't care about flavors. He would just buy whatever was on sale. And so it was always like, we get everything. But I do remember after hot days when I had to cut our lawn, we only had a push mower, that a Gatorade, like a Gatorade was so tasty on a hot summer day of just after like sweating my ass off. So like it's always so refreshing, even to these days. And like in college, even after a silly night, having one of these on the walk to class was always refreshing.
A silly night.
So many silly nights. But then recently, you know, I think I got a Gatorade, and I grabbed the fruit. I grabbed one of the red ones because red is my I associate with fruit punch, and I like fruit punch.
Mm-hmm.
That's what usually my go to when I'm grabbing. And I wasn't feeling great a couple weeks ago, so I
You'll love blue cherry then.
I'll have to try it. I grabbed one of those because I just wasn't feeling great, and I was I think I needed some electrolytes or something. So yeah, that's the last time, a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah. Josh, how about you? First time, last time?
Okay. Yeah, I grew up in a sporto house. My my dad played a lot of soccer, and then I played a lot of soccer. He was my coach, and I'm talking old school Gatorade, but it was always lemon lime. You know, we'd make those big igloo coolers with the little spigot, conical cups from that powder. And I remember the Gatorade bottle, it used to be like a glass bottle with like it almost looked like a jelly top.
And
when you think of like artisan juice bottles, that's what the Gatorade bottle used to look like. And I vaguely remember that. I remember them when they went plastic, but I remember like seeing blue once. Blue has been my favorite color since always. I remember when I saw blue in the store, I was like, we got to get this. Like, we got to try it. And ever since I first had Glacier Freeze, I know now that it was in the 90s. It's been my go-to Gatorade. Like, hands down. Occasionally, I'll have an orange one. I was never a fan of the fruit punches, the red ones. Blue above all. Lemon lime always felt like, and maybe just because I had so much of it when I was little, but it always felt like a sick. Like, if I have sick, I'll have lemon lime. Orange, if it's around. And then blue would be, like, my go-to everyday Gatorade, if you will.
I imagine a lot of people associate it with being sick, because I feel like that was a constant. That was never something I drank when I was sick, but it's I feel
to
like...
To get fluid, yeah.
Yeah, like, I do remember one time when I was really sick, a friend of mine brought me, like, she just left, like, a care package at my door. And when I went and got it, there was, like, four Gatorades, and that And I just remember being like, "Oh, is that something people drink when they're sick?" And then I found out that yes, it was. So,
would you just drink water to get that fluid back?
Yeah,
like a human being.
Better, you know, some whiskey or something. I'm just kidding.
Some whiskey.
Just rub it on my gum.
The blue Powerade I also really like, and sometimes the store by where I used to live would have it for like 88 cents a bottle.
Nice.
And so I'd be like, this is a dollar, but this one's 88 cents. So I'd get the blue Powerade.
Speaking of the glass bottles, I have a very vivid memory of going to one of my brothers when I was like really young, going to one of my brother's baseball games, and one of his teammates had a glass bottle of Gatorade, and I smashed it by accident. And nobody ever found out. This is the only time I've ever. I accidentally bumped it or smashed it. And I remember later they were like, "Who broke my Gatorade?" And I was like, hiding.
Oh, must have been a win.
Who was that kid?
I was like under the bleachers, like it wasn't me.
Oh,
you're drinking it up.
Licking it off the ground.
And then the last time, I get a real quick Gatorade story, and I've probably told this before. But speaking of orange Gatorade, I remember we did Summer Stock Theater in Boston, and we had a blowout party at the end of the season at this like Asian restaurant. All you can eat, all you can drink. And I did both. A man of large appetites, I've sometimes described myself. And the next morning, I was so hungover that I had to go to CVS and like I got like an orange Gatorade, and I'm drinking it in the line. And it was just like, because I needed, you know, you need liquid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had already puked that morning. So I drank Gatorade. I got like halfway through and I was like, okay. And I finished it. And I think I got another one. And I was like, I'm buying this empty bottle and this bottle, the second bottle I've already opened. And then as soon as I paid and walked outside, I had a puke again. Oh. It was orange. It was not only orange, but it was so cold. Like that's how much it didn't stay in there. Gross. Yeah. So I'm like, it's in right across from the Boston Common, in a tree planter, because there was nowhere else to go. But that is like one of those. I still love orange Gatorade. Like, I'll still drink that one, too.
Yeah.
But that is, like, a very vivid memory where I was just like, and then I was like, that cold sensation of, I think it's one of the only, I think two times I've ever vomited and it was, like, cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gross. I think the other time was, like, a frosty, like, one of those adult, adult Slurpees or whatever.
Yeah.
Frosty.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Just too much party. Silly night, as Rob likes to call it.
We're just silly nights.
Last time was probably, like a month ago or something. It was hot out. I remember that.
Yeah.
And you don't want a soda, but you want something refreshing.
Right.
My roommate is really into Noon tablets. So,
I don't know what these are.
We have a whole episode about it. But it's basically electrolyte tablets. So, like, it's just like a little tablet. You drop it in a pint of water and it dissolves and it tastes, it's like a less sweet Gatorade. So, like, Gatorade without any sweetness.
Yeah, they're not bad.
And it's really nice. So, like, for hydration now, that's something I'll do. Or if I'm hungover or feeling sick, we got a whole shelf of them. So,
that's what I'll reach for now. The old school Gatorade, please.
Hey.
There's no tablet. No fancy tablets for me.
No. Yeah.
There's something about going to a 7-Eleven, buying a newspaper that's written on, like, printed on actual physical paper.
Yep.
A big thing of Gatorade, getting a big bite hot dog, buying a lottery ticket. There's something about 7-Eleven.
You may have to offer.
This is all a universal experience to us.
We've all been there.
Yeah. You go to the counter and you see what candy is for sale. You're like, I'll try that too. What the hell?
You got too many things in your hand too. Can I just... Here, I got to do another lap around the store.
You drop $30 each time you go to 7-Eleven.
But you're helping small businesses.
Mm-hmm. And those are businesses that are small. Mm-hmm. Moving right along, our next segment, Bobby.
Yeah.
Help me out. What is it?
Well, we kind of flip-flopped, so I'm going to stick with this one.
Let's do it.
Randy, we want to know the very first alcoholic drink you ever have, because this segment is called...
Whoop, whoop. Let me see your ID. What's your first alcoholic beverage?
Whoop, whoop. Let me see your ID. What was your first beverage?
There's an audio drop. It's better than me.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
My first alcohol I ever drank was at a New Year's party when I was probably like 13. There was champagne floating around, and I remember my friend, we used to always hang out with my parents and their friends, and my parents' friends are like party animals. Like, they are, you know, they party harder now, like, than I did when I was in college. Like, my parents are crazy. And so, they were the booze was always flowing, you know, hard drinking family. And so when I was 13, my parents like allowed me and my buddy Matt, who is their friend's son, who was one of my best friends when I was a kid, we got our own glass of champagne. I remember I hated it. It was like the most disgusting thing ever. And I think we thought it was cool that we were drinking, but like it was just like punishing.
And then
I honestly did not drink again until my senior year of high school. And it was at post homecoming party. It was like an outdoor all night, you know, thing at my buddy's. And this kid named Nathan, who I was friends with, I remember he just came up to me and he's like, "You want a beer?" And it was like a Busch Light or something. I am not kidding. I drank this can of Busch Light for like 6 hours. Like, it was so, I was social and I was hanging out.
Yeah.
And I hated it. It was so
gross.
And then it's like, and so I nursed it the entire night. And then, it was literally like 2:30 in the morning, and there's like this much at the bottom, and it is beyond warm. Yeah, and
it's stale. Like temperature of your body.
Yeah, and I just kept drinking it. I just kept sipping it. And then, and now I thoroughly enjoy beer. It's a taste I've come around to. But yeah, my early days with alcohol were very limited. And I also, but I drink more that year. I just like all my early, a lot of my early like beer experiences were really bad. Like my friend Crystal had a hot tub. And so my senior year, like we would all hang out at her place, and her parents were cool in the sense that they would rather us not be drinking and driving. Her parents would be come to our place and we'll get a hot tub, hang out. Yeah, we got a hot tub, we got shitty beer.
And take some photos.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah.
They had a beer bog, and it's so funny. It was like my friend's dad was like bonging 40s with me.
There's some hard partying parents.
I know. Like they were crazier than even mine. But I remember that I had no concept of like what I could handle. And the thing is, I hated the taste of it. But by that point, like I wasn't nursing one for 6 hours. I was like, bring out the bong, you know? And so so I remember I did like two cans of beer and a bong. And then I also like drank a couple, and then I went in the hot tub, and I learned the hard way, like going in a hot tub after you've been drinking is horrible. Like it's the worst thing you can do. I had like two different nights there where I got really, really, were really, really drunk in really unpleasant ways. And so like puking, passed out in the lawn, all kinds of stuff. But you know, we were kids. Yeah. So yeah, it's I've gotten more responsible and also more discerning since then. Let's just say I haven't bonged a beer, I think, since then.
But you still love Busch Light though, right?
I hate Busch Light. It's so gross. Like the only I'm a craft beer guy, but like I think when it comes to domestics, my parents all they drink is Labatt Blue. They're obsessed with it. And but I'm more of a Coors guy, Miller Lite if I'm pressed. But so that's my first.
Nice. Wow, you said you haven't bonged a beer since then. I'll tell you what, once this whole pandemic's over, we're all gonna meet up in the park and bong beers like it's your parents' friend's house.
I'll say this. When I had a play open years ago, God, like 10 years ago now, and afterwards we were all partying like in the space, and I remember we all like we went outside out front and we were like, let's shotgun a beer, because none of us have done it since college. So we all did it, and I was so bad at it, like I cried and I think I got like a quarter of it down. I can't chug them anymore.
The last time I shotgun a beer, I think it was when the Cubs won some party, and I was like, everyone's like, let's do it. I was like, yeah. Because I used to do it all the time, and like I think I just like I shoved my key into it, and it just exploded everywhere. I was like, I'm out of practice. I'll just drink it normally.
I love it.
Oh, man. I can't remember the last time I bonged a beer. Shotgun a beer was probably not that long ago.
I haven't bonged a beer in a long time. 2 years ago,
at least within that time. Yeah, I haven't bonged a beer because like who's got one?
Like I know, right? Like ideally we all left those in our college apartments. Yeah.
I remember driving to Home Depot to make one in college. Nice. Because the guy that had one moved, or the guy that had one I wasn't friends with anymore.
Sure.
I was like, I gotta make my own. And I'm sure those colleges, those hardware stores next to the colleges are like, school's starting, I'm gonna order 300 more funnels.
Just like a load of funnels. A corner display of all the materials. Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Car trouble? You said you're a craft beer person. What are you stocking? What's in your fridge?
I'm very into, I'm sad that Oberon season is over. Oberon is the first craft beer I ever had, and I'm a Michigan kid. I just have, like, I don't know, that beer has just persevered for me over the years. I absolutely love it. And
it's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, basically I learned over the years that, I used to be really into IPAs and stuff. And then I fell out. I don't know. It's like a switch triggered in my brain, and just suddenly I stopped liking them, and they just make me feel sick. So I'm more of like a crushable beer person. So craft lagers, craft pilsners, and craft like kolsches, like stuff like that. Like light golden stuff is usually my jam. Like Oberon's about as hoppy as I get, because like I like hops as sort of like an accompaniment to a beer, like a little flourish in it. But I don't like beers that are like overwhelmed by them.
Predominant flavor. Right.
Yeah. So I'm pretty flexible. Like, there's a brewery in Chicago called Beguile.
Oh, great.
I absolutely love Beguile. Like, and that's actually where my wife and I got married. Rob was there.
Oh, what a fun
I
wedding.
Guess my invitation's still in the mail.
But they have this upstairs space, and we were actually the first wedding that ever did like a wedding up there. So
I didn't know that.
It was really cool. And it was very, you know, DIY in a lot of ways, because they didn't really know how to do a wedding. So we kind of just did it ourselves. And but that's how much we love Beguile. Is we used to live like right down the street from it. So it was
on Ravenswood?
Yeah, it's Ravenswood and Irving Park around there. We used to live around Damon and Montrose. So we used to go there a lot. And now we live a little further west, but we still get out there when we can. I mean, obviously, with COVID, that's not been easy, but it remains.
They're still doing takeaway, right?
They have like an outdoor space, which I've been to, that's really socially distanced, and it's good. But their blonde ale is to me.
Oh,
like,
that's their signature.
So good. It's just like a good blonde is great. And then also right next door to Beguile is Dovetail Brewery. And my wife and I love that brewery as well, because they do mostly, German style lagers and
they sell pretzels too.
They also have Rausch beer, which is like a smoked beer. And that's like my wife's favorite beer. She loves that one. So
interesting.
Those two are kind of a lot of our go-tos in terms
They're good breweries, man.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. And it's great. They're right next to each other.
I know. And they're locally run, and they're good people that run them. We've met, the owners of both those breweries, and like the guy who runs Beguile, we still call him a friend. We see him
here,
and he's a really nice dude. So, and he went to Central Michigan where Rob and I went.
That's right. Good. I forgot about
Fire up chips.
Yeah.
Fire up
he chips. Was very excited when he found out we all went there at the wedding.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Oh. Well, we should get him to sponsor us, Rob.
We should. I'll reach out. How we can
sponsor. Yeah. Bobby, get on the alumni network.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
Hit him up. Now I want a beer. I'll just drink this Gatorade.
Same thing, right?
All right, but this is good.
All right. Our next segment, I believe. I'm going to turn the table. Now, Randy, we're laughing, we're talking, we're sharing stories. We're having a fun time, right?
Yeah.
But this is not your dream location. We want to know what your dream location is to have a delicious, I have a cool blue Gatorade. You have one of the, what are they called, the Frost?
Glacier Frost.
You have a Gatorade Frost Nixon Glacier Freeze. What's your dream location, and who's your celebrity guest that you want to tag along?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I'm sorry, and this segment is called...
I'd rather be here.
That's a good question. I'm thinking about, extremely warm places that I've been that were really lovely. My wife and I went to Mexico City a couple of years ago, and we didn't do a resort. We were in real Mexico City, and then we went to Oaxaca and stuff like that, and it was incredible. And when we were in Oaxaca, we did a tour where we hired this local to basically drive us around to all the places that they make mezcal on the outskirts of Oaxaca, and because the majority of mezcal is still made by local manufacturers, people in their homes, because it's a really old school method. And that's, they still make it the old school way. And so it was a really, really incredible trip, but it was really hot, and the guy was just, we were drinking a lot of mezcal over many hours, and we got
That's so much.
And I will say, if there was one thing that was lacking, it was a nice, cool Gatorade.
Yeah.
Cool me off and help sober me up a little bit. So I think my ideal place would have been on the outskirts of Oaxaca, after a couple of sips of mezcal, and then to balance things out, a nice, delicious Glacier Frost blue Gatorade. So,
Oh,
I think that's my answer. My celebrity guest.
Because your wife doesn't count. She's a
doesn't.
But she can definitely go. We'll pay.
She can come along. Yeah.
good question. My celebrity guest would be John Cena, because he works out hard. And he deserves a nice cold Gatorade too. And what can I say? I love the man. I'm a huge John Cena fan. And I came this close to interviewing him for a piece I was writing at the AV Club. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out. He's a very busy man. And so this would be my chance to actually finally get to speak to him after the interview didn't work out. Because I feel like John Cena and I have a lot in common.
I think you do. Yeah.
I think we'd be good friends if he'd just give me a shot.
John,
I know you're listening.
Yeah, he's a huge fan.
call him up. Just say your full telephone number right now.
Yeah. Randy, your number will be in the notes.
Yeah. 555-1234.
555. That sounds made up.
I got to change the luggage. You can change the combination on my luggage. Baseball reference. I got it eventually.
You got there.
Bobby, should I go? Because you.
No, I know. You want to go?
I'll go. Go what? Bobby, what do you want to ask me?
Josh, where's your dream location? Who's that big old celebrity that's going to join you?
Oh, it's a big old celebrity.
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
All right. We talked about, so Gatorade is refreshing. Let's just say it. You know,
it is.
You got my refreshing vote. I would also go somewhere warm, but I think I want to go. I'll stay local. I don't know if anybody heard. There's a pandemic on. I'm going to go to the Painted Desert.
Oh.
And I am going to go road tripping. Yeah, I'll get a motorcycle.
Oh.
I want an electric motorcycle, and I want to road trip. Is Arizona? Is that where it is?
Sure.
All around the desert. Tourist attractions. And I'm going to have a time and space doesn't matter. So I want a little cell phone app where I take a photo of something and it mixes all the colors in the photo together and prints out a Gatorade bottle full of delicious ocean cold, hashtag ocean cold Gatorade. So I'm in the desert with my app and I'm taking photos of the various painted places. And out pops all these different colors Gatorades. And I find the perfect shade of blue. It's the same Glacier Freeze blue. And I would recognize it anywhere. And I get out the app, take a thing, and it pops out, and it's ocean cold. Perfect. It's got that little bead of sweat condensation running down it. Yeah. And I've been doing this all day, so I'm really hot and tired and thirsty. And I go to reach for it, and who touches my hand... because they're also reaching for it. So thirsty. It's Guy Fieri.
The man himself.
The man himself. He's been all the road stop diners, drives, and dives along the Arizona highways and byways. He was driving up and down. He stopped to take, just get into nature. Like, get away from the hustle and bustle at all. He's got his hair down. It's not spiked up.
I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
He's got his glasses on the front of his face, not on the hanging off the back.
I wouldn't recognize him.
I know. Who is this man?
Yeah, who are you? Yeah. No, you can't be Guy Fieri.
And we look at each other, and we both kind of like half smile, full tongue kiss.
Whoa, this took a turn.
Yeah.
This is getting sexy.
And then I take a picture of him with my app. The first ever Guy Fieri Gatorade is born. It was like a kiss of mutual respect. It wasn't like it was like there was a sexual charge, but it wasn't like passionate. You know, it was almost like two equals meeting, figuring it out, and then taking a step back. We go into business together. We sell Guy Fieri Gatorade. I host a shoot off. Of diners, drive-ins, and dives, where it's only takeout. It's only drive-throughs.
COVID safe.
Yeah, COVID safe, yeah. And there's a mutual respect bond that I really love, but it exists. We're sort of platonic soulmates. There you go. And we had to kiss just to figure it out. But no big. And that would be my dream location to have a delicious... icy cold blue Gatorade.
Love it.
What is the Guy Fieri flavor? Donkey sauce? What? I
don't... Donkey flavor.
Ugh.
Oh, it'd be like slightly. So it would be.
Grease?
A punch blend. Citrus, with mild, not strawberry. It would be like a jalapeno. A little bit of spice. There'd be a little bit of spice in there.
Spicy Gatorade.
Yeah. It'd be a spicy, creamy Gatorade.
Oh, God. That's what the people want.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody wants that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some sicko out there, Doug. Yeah.
They're like, we sold out. We only did one running of it. And it's like one guy and he's bought all of them.
I'm feeling pretty good.
He rented out extra storage space just to lock it up. Bobby, where would your dream location be to have delicious ice cold, ocean cold blue Gatorade?
I've been flip-flopping of what scenario to put myself in, because I feel like last time we did Gatorade, forever ago, I did the old and the Super Bowl, I need a Gatorade to quench my thirst and, you know, Popeye me so I can, like, get the power and win the Super Bowl. But I don't want to do that again, or do I? Okay, here's what we're going to do. An alien race has come down from space and has approached me to be like, look, Rob, we're going to our group of aliens, we're going to challenge you to a game of football. So you got to come up with your own team to take us on.
Okay.
I go, okay, I clearly know a lot about this sport.
Yeah.
So I recruit, I want to keep it local. So I go to the Chicago Bears. They're doing fairly well this season from what I've been told. I recruit the Chicago Bears, but I want to have a couple of ringers in there. So I get on the phone and I call Dwayne Rock Johnson. I'm like, look, buddy, you got to come play football one more time. And then I request Adam Sandler, but only as Bobby Boucher from the film Waterboy.
Not Huey Halloween, where he does the same exact character?
Not at all. Haven't watched it yet. Not sure if I will. Might see it for Halloween night.
Hey, you should watch it.
Okay.
I thought it was okay. I laughed a lot.
All right.
I wanted to hate it. I didn't hate it. I'm not fully endorsing it. Sorry, go ahead.
I'll get into it. So, long story short, with my ragtag crew, we take on the aliens, we win, and to celebrate, we have a delicious, ice-cold, cool blue Gatorade.
Oh, cool blue.
And then everyone goes back to their normal lives, and no one wants to talk to me anymore.
Love it.
Do you win anything, or you just save the world from the aliens?
We just save the world from the aliens.
Okay.
I guess we can get, like, a participation trophy.
Yeah, we'll give you a trophy. We'll make you a trophy.
We'll get a little trophy. Yeah, one for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Josh, what's our next segment, my friend?
Okay, moving right along. We've talked about what you would do. We've talked about a drink you've loved. We've talked about your beer aficionado-ness. But we want to know is, what is a beverage you hate, despise, revile, is evil, in fact, it's so terrible that not only do you not ever want to have it again, you will prevent the world from having it again. We want to know what that drink is. We want to know how are you going to destroy it. This segment is called...
Cork It!
I leave the table if she fucking drinks Merlot!
Wow. I didn't know I wasn't going to let anyone else have it.
That's right. That's a lot of power.
Man.
A lot of power on you, buddy.
Well, the funny thing is my answer is going to be like regular Coke. because I took on a fondness for the chemical taste of Diet Coke, which is now, you know, in my bloodstream.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, buddy.
And it will never
I hear you.
Yeah, it will never, ever free me from its grip. But now it's like, I hate the taste. Like, it's like, you know, you go to McDonald's or something and they give you, and you like say, I want a Diet Coke. Like, Diet Coke drinkers, like, if you give us regular Coke, we take a sip and we know, and we are mad about it.
Yeah.
And so I just go and I beat up the little 15-year-old pitch speaker. But no, I despise it. I can't drink it anymore. It tastes way too sweet. It, like, hurts my, it doesn't really hurt my teeth, but it hurts my teeth, like, on principle.
I get what you're saying.
It tastes like syrup. It tastes like it's like a thick, viscous liquid.
Yeah.
That you're like, why? Why is it still there? Go away. Yeah.
It's like going, like, if you drink like fat free milk and then suddenly you're drinking fat milk again and it's so creamy and it's like, I can't do this. It's just
it's like still there. It's still on my tongue.
I don't like that. So yeah, so for me, I guess I have to demand that nobody else drink it. And so, but maybe that's good because, you know, I that's the thing with my Diet Coke addiction is like, I don't wish this on anyone else. I don't wish any soda on anyone else. So I think I'd probably be doing the world a favor if they only did diet. But then the thing is I'm still allowing this horrible, horrible thing. And honestly, like now it's going to take up more share. And let's just say the Pepsi Corporation or the Coke Corporation is going to be fine no matter what.
Yeah,
so they're just like, ha ha ha. We still win.
They're like, time to pivot to, you know, option A, because they've had like all these scenarios planned out to stay at the top of the game.
So yeah, it is funny though, because when I was a kid, I loved, you know, normal Coke. And then, I feel like, I don't remember why I started drinking diet, but I did at some point. And then it's like, there's something about it and you just can't go back to it. And
it's a delicious beverage.
Yeah. And it perks me up when I need it. If there's like, some people get like hangry when they're hungry, you know, like if I don't get my Diet Coke, I get mad.
Well, Randy, how are you going to get rid of diet? How are you going to
Yeah, how are we going to get destroy it?
What are you going to do?
We're all on board. We're on your side.
Bombs on all the things that make all the big tanks. I'm just blowing it up. And if innocent lives get lost along the way, so be it. We got to put a stop to this. So
collateral damage.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of bombs, but I will blow up every single one and take many people with me. If it means banishing this vile, vile liquid from the earth. So.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. It's old school approach, man.
Wow. Nothing wrong with that. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
An American company dies an American way. That's the headline. Bobby, how are you going to get rid of all the Coca-Cola in the world, not diet?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I've created a machine that when you pour regular Coke into it, it takes out whatever makes it regular Coke and turns it into Diet Coke. Mm. So we're conserving on some level.
Could it turn it into marshmallows?
Absolutely not. Nope, can't do it. It only takes regular Coke. Now, this is a giant machine powered by, like, a bunch of oil, so it's not really great for the environment, but it takes regular Coke and turns it into Diet Coke. And that way, we can still drink it and enjoy it. And people are like, but, and I go, I don't care. Put more coal into the machine and power it up.
Well, I see your problem here. This thing takes a lot of oil.
Yeah, it's so much oil.
You've only put a little bit of oil in it. That's why it's not working.
We need more oil on those coils. So, you know, maybe it's not the best, but it's simple. We don't have to, like, just throw away liquid. We can save it all. Yeah. Josh, how about you? How'd you get rid of a Coca-Cola Classic?
Okay, so I've been watching, for the sake of this story, I've been watching a lot of classic cartoons.
Who has?
And I've noticed that when a bull sees the color red, it gets angry and charges at it.
Yes.
So I'm going to take that technology, put it in a vial, and I'm going to weaponize it. So anytime you see a gas weapon, anytime people see the Coca-Cola logo, or the display, and this thing's everywhere because they buy all that fucking kitsch stuff for all the restaurants and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to get cartoon bull angry and charge at the sign and smash him. Step one. Step two, I'm going to do the same thing to the taste of regular Coca-Cola. So anytime you drink a regular Coca-Cola, you get irrationally angry and just you have to smash stuff.
Sounds like the beginning of like a zombie movie or something.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Kingsman when he fought all those guys in the church.
The church? Yeah.
You guys see that movie?
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be kind of like that. And then finally, you know, everybody's like, well, less killing, more just destruction. So everybody's like, what's happening? Like, why are people destroying everything? And they'll trace it back to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola will no longer exist. They can't make it. And they can't ever make classic Coke or new Coke or any variation of sugared Coke. Because it'll have the same effect. But what they can do is make Diet Coke. And they'll make a lot more of it. It'll be cheap and free and easy. When you go somewhere and you're like, hey, can I get a Coke? People will default to Diet Coke. Because, you know, you don't have to say the diet anymore.
This is a future I can get on board with.
That's right.
I'm all in.
And that'd be my dream location. All right, I think moving right along, I think it's cocktail time.
Cocktail segment.
Yes. Go make a cocktail.
I'm going to go run and grab mine. It's in the fridge.
Josh, can I ask a question? Are there it's the tequila, the lime soda?
Yeah.
Right? Are there a mixture or just kind of?
It's 3-2-1. So okay. It's one part tequila. So if you're using your shot glass.
Yeah, yeah.
One shot of tequila, two shots of soda, and then at least three, but probably four shots of Gatorade for you.
Great. I'll go make it.
All right. I'll be right back.
Cocktails. Woo-hoo.
And we're back. All right, folks. We have returned from making the cocktail, or if we've pre-made it into in a smaller Gatorade bottle, we've poured it into a glass. At least that's what I did. Because each episode, we have a guest. That's you. We bring a beverage of their choice. That's what you brought. You brought us Blue Gatorade. And we've made a cocktail with it in honor of you.
Thank you.
So we are going to taste this cocktail. We have named it after you, and then you'll give it a letter grade.
I'm excited. So right now,
we're about to tuck in. I've been watching a lot of British Baking Show and The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Same.
So I've said tuck in more times in the last 2 days than I have ever in my whole life. We are about to enjoy, hopefully, fingers crossed, the Cool Randy, a.k.a. Colburn Blue Blitz.
I'm so honored.
A.k.a. Randy Aid.
Randy Aid.
So what's all in this?
So we have an ounce and a half of tequila.
Okay.
Reposado. We have 3 ounces of a lime soda. I used the Mexican... the name just escaped me. Aritas?
Okay.
It's the neon lime soda, which is why ours looks a little different than Bobby. Bobby couldn't find it, so he got lemon lime soda. You just got Sprite, right?
I got Sprite, baby.
And then 5 to 6 ounces of delicious blue Gatorade, any blue Gatorade you want. for the sake of yours, I used Cool Blue because I thought that's what, you know. And the Cool Blue is a darker blue than the...
Right. And I feel I can taste the difference. Like, there's a punchier quality to the Cool Blue than there is to the Glacier Freeze. And I feel like I can taste the punchier quality in here. And I think it actually mixes quite nice with the tequila.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I actually think this is definitely not the Frankenstein monster I was worried it might be.
I actually don't remember what I made for the last Gatorade drink. But I was like, this kind of tastes like berry and acid. It tastes like, I was like, let's hit it with booze and then we'll sweeten it up a little bit.
Surprisingly, the tequila works well with the Gatorade.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's good. Well,
it's funny. I just have like a memory of being in college, like maybe my sophomore year. This wasn't with Rob. Did you ever do Leadership Safari? Was that ever a thing you did?
I love the name. I know it somehow. Yeah.
Well, I was like one of the leaders like my sophomore year. And I don't know why I did that because it's so not my jam. I think it was just something my roommate at the time did. Like, I'm not like a go get 'em optimistic, like leadership kind of guy. I'm more of a guy who sits in the back of the room and like farts on things.
Snarky gay.
Yeah, but I did it, and I remember going to a party with a bunch of those people, and I think there was no more beer, but there was Mountain Dew Code Red.
Oh, I love Code Red.
And I don't know like what the ratios are. I didn't start drinking until I was like 18. So I'm probably like 19 here. So like I'm just like, hey, like bottle of vodka, like half in there, and then like some Code Red Mountain Dew. And man, I was puking within 30 minutes. Like, God, it was one of those where, and on the drive home, I was like a dog. I had my head out the window. It was a hard night. Yeah. Anyways, like when I saw this initially, because you know, you don't see these kind of like neon,
yeah,
almost like in booze too often.
Yeah.
And so it's when I saw this, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a Code Red situation? Although I trust your ratios much more. but no, I actually think the flavors actually mix quite nicely here. And I will absolutely be finishing this glass.
Oh, it's good.
On this Saturday afternoon.
So
I'm going to give you a B plus.
We'll take it for blue.
Yeah, B plus for blue, and you know I can't give you an A because then you're not going to work harder.
Yeah, I respect it. You know what? I might be unhappy now, but you've made me a better student.
That's good. So kudos on this drink.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers. This is good,
gentle friends.
I wanted to make it dovetail.
There you go.
Dovetail.
Ah, nice.
I wanted to mix, so initially when I was like, okay, blue Gatorade, I was like, it's citrus. I was like, I want to mix it with bourbon, and I tried a couple times, and it was bad. Oh. And then I was like, let me go to the internet, and the whole internet was like, don't mix Gatorade with bourbon.
I like that there's multiple.
Because like vodka and like a neutral spirit, like a vodka or even a white rum, I was like, that's... It's too it's too samey. Like I feel like it's been done.
Yeah.
And maybe tequila's been done too. But also, I'm on a big tequila kick. I got a giant bottle from Craig's Signature. It's when I have just a spirit solo. It's been tequila. It's nice. Just delightful.
Yeah, we've been building out our bar a little bit.
Is that what I see behind you?
Yeah, we don't have like a ton of stuff. We have some fun stuff in there, and we have a little burgeoning collection. We got bitters, we got liqueurs, we got things, but the only main liquor that we don't have a bottle of right now is tequila. We have everything else. And it's funny, we did this like our friends in Evanston did this like kind of like liquor share thing where they got, it was like a mystery box of four liquors. And they were like, hey, we're going to get this. And if you want to split with us, and we're like, yeah, sure. And it ended up being kind of a bust. One of the things they gave us was a gigantic bottle. Here, let me see if I can grab it. A gigantic bottle of 151 proof Bermuda black rum.
Oh, heaven.
It's like, how often are you going to drink this? And this bottle is
gigantic.
Yeah. Also the 151 proof black. Like black rum by itself is a strong...
Yeah.
Have you opened that yet?
A little bit. But yeah, it's
have you opened that bottle yet?
No, we haven't opened it yet. I'm not sure when we will.
Flaming Dr. Pepper shots. That's what you gotta make.
Oh yeah, yeah. Colburn, next time when COVID's over and I come by, I'm gonna demand a drink.
You got it. You gotta crack that sucker open.
If you buy like a super spicy ginger beer. Mm-hmm. I bet you can make a kick-ass dark and stormy.
Nice. That's actually a good
spicy ginger beer that like when you have it by yourself, you're like, whoa, this is too gingery. Because then you add that like heavy rum that's all booze, and you're like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Okay, this is palatable now.
I understand.
So I originally made it. It was tequila, and then it was like an even lime soda to blue Gatorade ratio. It looked a lot greener, and it was too strong.
Yeah.
So we upped the parts, but yeah, I mean, I'm finishing mine.
It's good. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a final segment all fall long.
All right.
Fat Boy Fall. In your drop-off bag, Randy, there was one other item in there.
Let me go grab mine.
Bobby's going to grab his, but I'll let you know that all fall... Well, first, I'll back up. All summer, hashtag tallboy summer is what we just had. Every episode, we tried a different tallboy, and Bobby invented a ranking system for the tallboys. If we liked it and it was a good tallboy, we gave the popping bottles thumbs up. If we didn't like it and it was a bad tall boy, we gave it a popping bottles thumb down. If it was okay, we might have it again. Classic popping bottles sideways thumb. That's the past, Randy.
Okay, that's the past.
We're moving into fat boy fall. Hashtag get yourself a fat boy, fat person. Fat boy fall is a state of mind. Get yourself a fat person and warm up with them.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken for, but I know.
I'm a looking.
That's right. Somebody add him on Twitter. Fat Boy Fall, we are trying. We have a new segment. Instead of Tall Boys, we're trying anything apple or pumpkin flavored. This segment is called
Pumpkin Ninny.
Mr. Show reference. Love it.
I knew you liked that.
No, Bobby, this segment is called Are You a Good Apple? Are you a good apple?
Oh, that's right. You switch it up on me because
Okay. The segment is called Are You a Good Apple?
Are you a good apple?
And if it's a good apple, it's Pumpkin Inny. and what do we say if it was a bad apple?
It's not Pumpkin Inny.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah,
but say it's sad like a little kid.
Yeah.
It's not Pumpkin Inny.
No.
I'm going to crack open my bottle.
Yeah. And for this.
Oh, do I need a bottle opener? Oh, I do.
I got one. I'll throw it through the screen at you. For this segment right now, we're having Right Bee Cider. Blossom hard cider with lemon myrtle and cherry blossom. This was a limited release. It's local.
Yeah, sounds really good.
Right Bee, they're on Costner Avenue in Chicago, Illinois, 60639. They had three different flavors when I was at the store, but this was the only limited release. And ooh, baby, I'm a sucker for limited releases. Chicago's original. Boy meets girl. Boy makes cider to woo girl. Now he's right beside her. Okay.
Oh,
right bee cider. What started as a romantic gesture grew into Chicago's original cidery, owned and operated by local husband and wife team. Oh, small business.
Oh.
Small batches and a ton of love sent your way. It's got a dry to sweet slider, and it's closer to dry. Blossom is a fresh, semi-dry cider with a burst of herbaceous lemon, pleasant cherry, blossom finish, and a drop of honey for our very own beehives. Mm. Cheers.
Nice.
Let's dig in.
Ooh. Ooh, that is dry.
Ooh.
It's very dry. And yeah, it's got like a tartness too that's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like a sour beer almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I was nervous because it smells like a little bit like potpourri for some reason to me. So I was like, what is this going to taste like? But it's not.
That lemon you really get.
Yeah.
And then it finishes cidery.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, I'm with you. Randy, you said it was like, it very much like tastes like a sour beer, like a sour ale.
Josh said that, and I do
agree. Sorry. With that. Yeah.
Yeah. My wife's huge into sour beers. That's like her thing.
I should have gave you two of these.
No, I think I'll be sharing this with her. I like it. It's a little sweet for me. Well, not sweet. It's like that, the tartness, like the bite of the lemon and everything is a little much for me. But cause I'm more of like, I don't know. I like, it's kind of silly, but I don't like a ton of flavor in my alcohol. Whereas like my wife, like she really loves like adventurous sours and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to be sharing this one with her. I think she's going to
get her on. What's she doing right now? Let's bring her on.
Jen, come here.
And tell her the grading scale.
Wait, you don't need to get on camera.
Okay.
She's
not camera ready.
She said she's not camera ready.
Jen, you're also beautiful.
I don't have my HD makeup on.
Try a sip of it.
I wear Fox News HD makeup.
We're just audio. This is an audio podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we can see each other. Oh, the video won't.
It's dry, but has a little bit of sweetness. Yeah, a little tart. Very crisp.
Very crisp.
Oh, I like ciders. Yeah.
That's how she likes ciders.
I can definitely taste like lemon myrtle. Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Have you had a Right Bee cider before?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I feel like they're
they've been around for a long time.
They've been around, yeah.
Well, oh, I mead also, I believe.
They make what?
Mead as well.
Oh, mead.
Oh.
Oh yeah, they do make mead. That's right.
I never heard of them.
Bee cider.
Yeah.
We gotta have Jen on.
Wait, what?
We should have Jen on. She's like
good. She's very smart.
Did she leave? She's got to say if it's pumpkin ninny or not.
Okay. Is it pumpkin ninny or is it not pumpkin?
I already overheard this is a Mr. Show reference. But I don't know what it means.
Well, just say, do you like it?
It's good.
Then say it's pumpkin ninny.
It's pumpkin ninny.
All right. We got one vote for it. Rob will move.
He's giving it to me.
No, I'm sharing it with you.
Just give it away.
I will say, for me personally, it's not pumpkin any.
But I recognize
that it is well made.
Yeah.
But so we got a split decision in the house. But I will say, the sour beer drinker in the house loves it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay, she likes it. She doesn't
like it.
Okay.
It's good. You know what? I have to say, it's not pumpkin ninny. It's not for me. Like, I'm not going to finish this. And if Randy, you live close, I'd drop it off. but I think other people would enjoy it, but it's not for me. I'm going to stick with this cool Randy.
Yeah, I'm going to have my Randy aid.
Yeah, I will say there was a little bit of whiplash from the Colburn Blue Blitz to the Right Bee Cider Blossom Hard Apple Cider. But now, three sips in, I got to say, it's pumpkin ninny!
Yeah. Okay, so good.
We got a mixed bag here.
Especially if I started here, I think I'd like it even more. I am excited to eventually try the rest of their ciders.
Yeah.
I would for sure go to this company again. I just don't think I would get this particular.
I think my personal preference is for a slightly sweeter cider. Mm. That being said, I really do like this a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
And I got three more, so
get ready to party.
Lucky you.
So that's night my night. That's my evening. Well, I think we did it.
That's it.
Good job, Randy. Good job, Bobby.
This was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Of course, anytime.
Anything you like to plug or push or something you like to recommend during this COVID
time? We've been talking a lot about comfort entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, I guess things plug. Comfort entertainment. I just watched The Sopranos for the first time.
For the first time?
It's great.
I've never seen it.
It's
so
great.
So yeah, that was really cool. And I probably wouldn't have watched it if not for COVID. So that was a bonus. Because I was just like, well, I've got the time now, so why not?
Yeah.
I will say too that Pen 15. That's the show
Hulu, right?
Yeah, Jen and I discovered that. Yeah, we discovered that, and we burst through the first. Well, like there's a season and a half out now, so we burned through all of that. Yeah. Really love it. It's funny, but it's also like weirdly like sad at times because it's like I don't know. It's the most in tune show in terms of being about like 13-year-olds that I've ever seen, and. It's like, yeah, weirdly resonant in a lot of ways, especially for my wife, because she's about the same age as the woman who created it. So it's like literally her middle school experience, whereas I'm a bit older. So it's, but I still recognize a lot of it. But for her, she's just like, oh my God, like all these references.
And all tracks.
Yeah, the fashion, all tracks, you know, so yeah. So yeah, those are my recommendations. And yeah, if you want, you can find me on Twitter at Randall Colburn. That's my name. And I'm a, you can read my writing at theavclub.com where I'm editor. So yeah, so those are my plugs.
What about your podcast, buddy?
Oh yeah, I have a podcast. If you are somebody who enjoys beverages, but also Stephen King, the author, I have a podcast called The Losers Club, a Stephen King podcast.
Fun name.
Yeah, and it's hosted through the Consequence Podcast Network via Consequence of Sound. And yeah, we've been doing it for about 3 years, more than 3 years. And it's been great. We've interviewed a lot of big King people, but we also just, we've been going through the books chronologically, starting with Carrie from, you know, the 70s. And then now we're in the early, we're about in the mid 90s now is where we're at in our journey. So
he has so many books.
I know. Yeah. It's
wild.
They're all like 700 pages.
Yeah.
When we do our book episodes, it's intense, but we also are very comprehensive. We watch all the movies. We watch all the shows. Yeah. We watch and we engage with kind of every corner of the King universe, which is very massive. And and so it's been a wild journey, and you know, there's still plenty more left to do. So it's awesome. It's intense. And
Can I pick your brain? Hidden gems. Now everybody knows the big, flashy Stephen King's.
Yeah.
What are we missing? Like the average person.
Yeah, I would say probably the books that aren't talked about as much that I think a lot of King fans really love are like The Long Walk, which was written. He actually wrote it when he was like he started it when he was in high school, but he published it as under the name Richard Bachman in the early 80s, I believe. And then it's been re-released since then as a Stephen King book. And it's really, really good. It's very dystopian. It's been being made into a movie now. It's been in development for years, but it's finally happening. But it's basically about like 50 or 100 teenage boys who basically volunteer to be part of this thing called the Long Walk, where you basically walk as far as you can. And if you stop walking for a certain amount of time, you are killed by soldiers. And then the person who reaches the end is the winner. And it's and then you sort of get, it's a Hunger Games kind of thing. And so it's sort of an influence on the Hunger Games in some ways. And but it's all about, you know, like nationalism and pride and stuff like that. But it's really dark. It's one of the better stories about like teenage boys and stuff like that I feel like I've read from King specifically. That one is really good. And then I would also recommend From a Buick 8, which was a book he released in the early 2000s, which is a book that ties into his Dark Tower universe, but it also stands alone on its well, stands on its own as well. It's basically about this car. He loves to write about haunted cars. And I know that that's like, you know, it's kind of a joke at this point. But this is one of the better ones. It's basically this car that appears in a gas station and the person who is in it disappears, and the car basically has no engine or anything, but it's really well designed. And it turns out that it's like more of a portal than it is a vessel. And all this creepy stuff starts happening. And for a King book, I think it's relatively short. It's like 350 pages or so. So it's a good way in. And then I think in terms of novellas, this isn't really underrated or a hidden gem, because a lot of them have been made into movies, but his 1980s, novella collection Different Seasons. That's the one that has like Shawshank Redemption in it and Stand By Me. At Pupil's in there. But that's like, in terms of his novella collections, when we've been revisiting those, that's the one that is easily the best. It's so good. Like every story in it's really good. Whereas like we did Four Past Midnight, which is the next novella collection that's got like the Langoliers in it. And that one is not good. So, we're not like, I think it's important to note with our podcast, we're not like a fan cast. Like we love Stephen King, and we obviously devoted hundreds of hours. But we're, you know, but we understand that like being a Stephen King fan, it's like he's written a lot of good stuff, and not garbage, but like stuff that's,
you can't write as much as he does and not have some bad stuff in there.
We have sections of the pod. Whenever we talk about a book, we talk about the good and the bad, and we sort of make fun of the way he writes about sex a lot, because it's really hilarious. Not the sexiest prose you're ever gonna read. So we have fun with it a lot, which is great. And we're, you know, sometimes our listeners get mad at us, because sometimes we're like, we'll go through like hard stretches where it's like, he's just written some not great stuff. And then people are just like, you guys even like Stephen King? We've been making this for 3 years, dude.
I went through a huge Stephen King. I must have been in like junior high school, where I like read, I started with one of his books, and then I read everything the library had. But I remember The Stand in Different Seasons were like the ones that I was like, oh, this is like good stuff, man.
Yeah. If you want to read good Latter-day King that's like newish, 11/22/63, which was made into a Hulu series, that book is really, really good.
I've heard that's great, yeah.
Yeah, and then also Under the Dome, which was made into a very bad TV series. The book Under the Dome is incredible. It's like, and I call it Cocaine King, because he did a lot of cocaine like in the 70s and 80s, and that kind of, I think, fueled a lot of his crazier books. And he's been sober since I believe the late 80s.
Good for him.
Yeah, very good for him. It was untenable based on what he says. But his books are still great, but there's sort of like a manic quality that's gone. And Under the Dome, he started when he was a lot younger and he finished it later. So it has some of the Cocaine King elements, where it's like just huge ensemble and lots of chaos and lots of blood, but also lots of like good characters. So
like when you do cocaine.
Like just where your mind is pinging around in a different way. So those are my recommendations for Latter-day King. Although for the most part, I mean, I've read like 95% of his work. I think there's a few that I'll read when I get to it, when we get to it. But I think I still love a lot of his Latter-day stuff, but you know, there is a marked difference between early King and later King, which makes sense. I mean, he was like, from his 20s to his like 60s, you know.
You get better as you
a lot of time there too. At the very least, change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I haven't read a lot of King. I've only read Green Mile, which I enjoyed.
That's our next book. That's the next one on our that we're about to review.
And then I've read the first Dark Tower book, and I just couldn't get into it.
Whoa, yeah, the first one is not good. Yeah.
I read the first, like, three, and then there was, like, the longest pause, right? Like,
Yeah.
And I was just like, and then, like, the last, like, I don't know, how many are there now? Like, six?
There's seven total. Well, there's eight total, because he released one after the final book that is, like, kind of a transitional book.
I love it.
And there's a few short stories, but the Dark Tower like ties into so many of his books. So it's wild. But yeah, I'd say finish them if you're up for it. But I would say for me, the third book, like probably the third book and the fourth book are my favorites, but a lot of people differ in that regard. The fourth book for me was Wizard and Glass for a long time was my favorite King book of all time. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited to revisit that because we're actually getting close to doing Wizard and Glass. We've done the first three Tower books on the podcast so far. So. Nice. So yeah, there's a lot to it. And like, basically, you know, it's like crazy because it's like before you read the fifth book, you have to read Salem's Lot because it ties in. Other books, you have to read Insomnia. There's like all these different King books that you have to read to like really capture the full thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, like sometimes people will ask me that and I'm like, okay, here's a chart.
The delay was what killed me. Yeah. I was just like, well, I'll never know.
Yeah, and then he knocked out 5, 6, and 7 within like 4 or 5 years. Yeah, so
he's written more than 60 books.
It's insane.
That's so many. I know
the fact that we're like planning to actually like people are just like, well, what are you guys going to do when you finish the podcast? Are you going to switch to another author? I'm like, we're never finishing this. It's like, yeah, because we don't do like a book every week or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We do a book like every 2 months because it takes a lot. But then we have a lot of books. Yeah, but then we have a lot of other episodes that we use to round it out. So yeah,
wild.
Rob, when's your Stephen King podcast coming out?
Oh, in about 2 weeks. We're called King in It, and I like King in It. It's close to Winging It.
All right.
That'll be out in 2 weeks. No, my usual stuff. I'm on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Rob Grabo, RobGrabo. Watch virtual comedy sports shows if that's your thing. Every Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 9:30 on Twitch. Yeah. Josh, how about you? Plug some
Okay,
stuff.
My Stephen King podcast is called Richard, We Gotta Talk, Man.
Richard.
And it's all about Stephen King stuff. Just graphic novels. That's all we do.
Nice.
Twitch.tv/CSZN. We're doing those live shows on the internet, but on the Twitch now, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Looks Twitter, way better.
Josh Scovia Sucks, SUX. Poppin' Pod for all of this episode, podcast fun stuff. Other than that, yeah. Wash your hands, go vote, you big dummies. Get it done. Get it done early. Let's bury this motherfucker.
Please.
In a landslide. And we have one last thing to do before we let anybody leave.
I'm typing in the notes right now.
And that is our end of the podcast. Cheers. The Rob's typing in the notes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, we have one last thing to do before we let anybody leave, and that is our end of the podcast. Cheers. So grab your closest hard apple cider, your Cool Randy, your Blue Blitz, a.k.a. Radiate, and say, repeat after me, or repeat with me,
Whatever you do, put a toast in it. Patreon demands it. Yeah, we have a sign off on our pod too that got difficult once we were remote.
What is it?
He says long days, and we just say long days and pleasant nights, which is like the same thing. And we're always like falling all over each other.
It's a long day.
Exactly.
I still say MOO in That Spells Blank. Because to me, it kills me.
I know. The Stan miniseries on CBS All Access is coming out this winter.
Oh, right. Yeah, the new one, right?
Yeah, so we're excited about that. We're going to do a whole series on that. So that'll be cool.
I should read the Stan. Sounds great.
It's dark in COVID times because it's all about
Tequila. What is it though?